His nickname is Plato, which means broad. He's an immensely confident, if unsmiling, Athenian, wide of forehead, broad of shoulders, bold of bearing, who casually exudes a breadth of comprehension few would dare to question. As he lobs his serve across the net, he does so with a glowering power that the spectators find thrilling. Throughout his game, his stance can only be labeled lofty. He seems to be reaching ever higher, stretching toward heaven, while his raised shirt provides an occasional glimpse of his noble abs. His serve is answered by his graceless opponent, a rangy, stringy-muscled man who plays his game much closer to the ground, whose eyes dart everywhere, who looks, despite his relative youth, to stand no chance of mounting a consistent challenge to our broad and supremely focused champion. And yet, the challenger, his name is Aristotle, son of a provincial doctor, manages to persist to meet his opponent with an ungainly mixture of styles. From time to time, it even appears that he could be capable of victory. Certainly, he's dogged in his perseverance. He begins to gain some fans in the crowd among those who prefer the improvisations of Aristotle to the unblinking gloom of great Plato. This is a game that has been played over and over, in fact, for 24 centuries, before audiences of almost infinite variety. At some point long ago, the game became a doubles match, for the two Greek philosophers were joined by two medieval Christian theologians, Plato by Augustine of Hippo, who could nearly equal him in style and seriousness, Aristotle by Thomas Aquinas, nearly as stylish as Aristotle, but though overweight, ungainly, and blinking in the sun, extremely thoughtful and genial, the sort of athlete who is always undervalued. This centuries-long philosophical doubles match has entertained intellectuals in every age and made a partisan of almost every educated human being in the Western world. To this day, it may be asked of anyone who cares about ideas, are you a Platonist or an Aristotelian? Plato certainly won the opening set, waged in Athens in the 4th century BC, and once he had Augustine at his side, he, if anything, grew in stature during the early medieval centuries. But in the 12th and 13th centuries, medieval academics such as Peter Abelard and Thomas Aquinas, who were not only deep thinkers but gifted publicists, were able to create a culture-wide renaissance on Aristotle's behalf. Then, in the period we shall visit in this book, in the time of the Renaissance and Reformation, the pendulum would swing once more as the graceful team of Plato and Augustine became the subject of nearly universal admiration, while the ungainly team of Aristotle and Aquinas suffered scorn and devaluation.